The Rio Olympics officially get underway with tonight's opening ceremony, and still organizers are facing all sorts of complaints about everything from dirty water and disease to insecurity and general disorganization. Turns out that may be pretty close to the original Olympic experience centuries ago in ancient Greece. David Clay Large has a lovely story on all this in Foreign Policy. Large is a historian at the University of San Francisco and UC Berkeley and joins me now. Let's start with the idea of insecurity. In Brazil, there are fears of muggers and terrorists, but what did the ancients have to fear?
Yes, the world of the ancient Olympics was so embroiled in constant fighting back and forth between rival city-states that every time the Olympics took place, there was fear of some kind of attack, some kind of disruption, as a consequence of which they organized a so-called Olympics truce. The idea here was that there couldn't be any attacks specifically on the games themselves, and that fans going to and from the sacred site wouldn't be under attack as normally was the case. Now, the fact is that even this Olympic truce often broke down. Famously, in 364 BC, when soldiers from the city of Elis actually invaded the Olympics grounds in order to retrieve protection rights over the games that had been taken away from them in the years before. So there was a bloody battle going on right during the wrestling competition in 364 in ancient Olympia, and this was emblematic of the constant problems of security that faced those games. The Spartans were also a problem. They had been banned from the Olympics for many years. They themselves thought the Olympics were not bloody enough in any event for their case, but they did show up in the 420s, and they got themselves banned once again for extracurricular fighting, but also perhaps for the fact they smelled bad. I mean, they didn't bathe, the Spartans. They didn't believe in bathing, and the ancient Greeks took their hygiene seriously.
Spectacle upon spectacle. Rio is also battling problems with polluted water and backed up toilets in the Olympic Village, and you've talked about the smelly bodies, but what did the ancient Greeks have to wrestle with in terms of sanitary issues?
Huge sanitary problems, because of course they didn't have any modern sewage at all. What they did is they built these trench-like latrines for the visitors in their thousands who came from all over. These latrines were extremely unsanitary, to put it mildly. They attracted all kinds of bugs, flies. There were outbreaks of various kinds of gastrointestinal diseases, diarrhea, often fatal, as a result of the poor hygiene and the poor water. There was often no water, running water at all during the festivals, because they were held in the high summer, and this was a barren place in any event. So this was a recipe for heat stroke. Lots of people died from heat stroke. It was a real problem. The issues surrounding Rio today are nothing compared to those of ancient Greece when it comes to matters of pollution and hygiene.
Nothing, huh? But there, please tell me there was no doping or cheating.
Well, of course there was. It's often assumed somehow these ancient games were purer than the modern ones. But in fact, if anything, they were, well, even more corrupt, perhaps. You have to remember that the athletes were not competing largely for themselves as freelance amateurs. Rather, they were paid champions of specific cities or city-states. They fought under the banners of those city-states. Of course, they couldn't wear uniforms because they were nude. But everybody knew that the great athletes represented particular cities, and there was a lot on the line for them in terms of pay and rewards, as a consequence of which they did a lot of cheating. And they did a lot of what we would call doping. Now, they didn't have sophisticated modern dope, obviously, in the ancient period, but they did have herbs, various kinds of herbal concoctions. They had some opiates that they mixed together to make cocktails. They also overdosed, if you will, on testicles and raw meat in order to strengthen themselves for the games. And they cheated. They sometimes cast spells on their opponents. If they were racing in the chariots, they would fiddle with the opponent's chariot rigs in order to make the wheels fall off and that sort of thing. This was quite commonplace, so commonplace that there were fines instituted for cheats. There were statues, monuments sprinkled around the ancient site, admonishing athletes and judges, for that matter, not to cheat. But many did, and so fines were collected and used both to pay the priests and to build more monuments against cheating.
Well, thank you for destroying my image of the ancient Olympics. I'm not sure I wanted to know any of that, but thank you, Olympic historian David Clay Large.
Thank you very much.